I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Is your faith satisfying? Yes. Yeah? I mean now. I mean today. Is it satisfying? I mean present tense. Because let's be honest, Christians are frequently focused on the future and how good it's going to be later for a good reason. It's heaven. Like, that's great. But sometimes we struggle to suffer through the present with a bad attitude. And so I love that Bruce just preached on the lack of joy as a symptom of sin, because bottom line, faith should feel like a gift, not a grind. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Because when we see faith as a daily struggle instead of a rewarding routine, well, those holy habits that we hope to have will never ever become the default decisions that we want to define our identity. Because habits don't grow out of misery. They grow out of meaning. Okay? You can't sad your way into holiness. It's just not going to happen. All right? You got to have meaning. And meaning is the sense that what we are doing actually matters, because it fulfills a purpose that we value, that this is what life is about. And that's why we use the word rewarding. You know, when something feels rewarding, this is it. This is the reward. And because that satisfaction is our number one motivation, the rewards that we chase become the reasons for choice. And I mean, the whole reason that we repeatedly stop at Starbucks to satisfy a craving for a Frappuccino is based on a previous taste that we remember as rewarding, right? That sugar hit your brain and you went, another. Right? Like, I want more of this. Because satisfaction is the happy ending of a habit loop that primes us to repeat that action again, which is exactly what they want. I just want another one. But it's also in the Bible. This is exactly what Peter says. He says, crave spiritual frappuccinos. No, he says, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You get that? You know, present tense, you've tasted, you know it's good, so start craving it. Faith is not just about future fulfillment. It satisfies earthly appetites too, and that's good, and that's okay. And Paul tells us that. He says, godliness has value for all things. Guys, all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Okay, so it's good now. Sure, yes, the ultimate impact of our faith may be experienced in the afterlife, right? It's heaven. We don't know what that's like, but it's better than this in all ways. But don't you think for one second that it doesn't have a present tense payoff, right? That it is good now. In fact, faith is supposed to supply a tangible taste of that rewarding future that is so satisfying today that it actually feels like we've already received the reward. That's what it's supposed to feel like. And so to explain this feeling, I want you to imagine this. Okay, this is the way that you would feel if you were holding the winning lotto ticket for a $1 billion jackpot. Okay, it's Friday night. They just called your numbers. 42, that's the Powerball. And you're like, it happened. You have won, okay? Imagine how you'd feel. Because remember, you don't have the money yet. You don't have, but for all intents and purposes, you are already a billionaire, right? Think about it right there. It's Friday night. How would you act over the weekend before the banks open? Like a billionaire, right? Everywhere you went, you'd be like, I'm a billionaire. You don't have the money, though. But you would be buying everyone dinner. It's on me. You'd be tipping way too much, and you'd be smiling while you spent, just throwing money out everywhere. All because the money that you have is nothing compared to the jackpot that you are promised, right? Just got to make it till Monday. Well, same goes for us, guys. Likewise, today's joy should just flow from living out faith in tomorrow's spiritual jackpot, right? We just got to make it to Monday also. Because though you do not see Jesus now, you are, present tense, filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving right now the end result of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. That's the jackpot, right? So start acting like it. That's what we're supposed to do. Act today like you got that ticket. And so we're going to help that out today by unlocking the last 7 keys of atomic faith, by learning to harvest the routine rewards that fuel our holy habits. And it's no surprise that it begins with key number 1, find faith's fruit. All right? Find the fruit. It is everywhere already. Just start looking for it. And I tell you, growing up, my mother was an avid gardener, right? Like, she grew wonderful, delicious, I mean, they were still vegetables, but they were the best vegetables, everything was good. So when my wife and I bought our first house, I built a huge garden. I mean, it was embarrassingly large, right? It was kind of, I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I think this is it. Here we go. And I'm a farmer now, you know, and I just was going for it. And things got a little wild, literally. It was like a small jungle. There were animals living in it and all kinds of stuff. There were 20-pound zucchinis. I later learned that there's a certain point where you're like, stop, pull it off. It's not edible anymore. Now it's a boat. But there were 20-pound zucchinis. There were beets as big as a baby's head. And you know why I went so nuts? Like, I went overboard. You know why I did it? It's because I remember how fun it was to actually taste the food that our own little yard produced because of my mom's hard work. But I would go out there, and even though it was vegetables, I'd be like, a snap pea. I like snap peas. Like, I was so proud of myself, and again, my mom to some degree, but I was eating vegetables, and it just felt like, look at us, we made this. Mom made it, but, you know, I'm a part of it. And so because I remember that, because I remember the fruits of all my mom's labor, I was enticed to recreate the routine in my own life because I wanted some more of that reward. But now just imagine if she had worked every single day without anybody ever tasting even a single strawberry. That had just never happened, right? Imagine that was how we grew up. She's like, look at that garden. Don't touch it, though. Don't eat anything from it. Would gardening still feel inspiring? No! It's a waste of time. Mom, what are you doing? It's just going to rot. No. And that's because of this. If we don't taste the fruit, we won't tend the tree. Okay? Remember that. If we don't taste the fruit, we won't tend the tree. We need to stop and savor what faith is actually producing in our lives. This is exactly why Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Present tense. Right? Get a taste for that. God does not ask us to serve him blind and just say, trust me, it's going to be good later. No. He invites us to taste the payoff today because he knows lasting faith comes from buying in. And nothing gets you to buy in like a fresh strawberry, right? Oh, man, it's so good. We're all going to become gardeners after this. We should. We should have a church garden. Other story. We'll talk about that later. That would be so fun. I know what. Let's go, guys. No. Okay. So he wants us to savor each bit of his goodness, to feel the satisfaction that creates motivation, you know, to realize that this faith thing is great. Following Jesus really works out. It's great. And James Clear, the author of the book we're doing here, describes how the British cycling team, Team Sky, transformed their identity from, you know, middle of the pack type of thing. But they transformed their identity by pursuing these tiny improvements that all added up to gold medals. They started really getting good. And here's what they did. Instead of the finish line alone, they focused on how their discipline produced all these tiny wins. They were like, let's just make our bikes cleaner. They had cleaner equipment. They got better sleep. They focused on healthy habits. They focused on visible results to taste the success that reminded them their routines were worth it. They're like, get a little win today. They did stuff like buy a more comfortable pillow. So then when they're out and, you know, doing the Tour de France, they would go and they'd lay down and they'd be like, well, I'm getting better sleep than everyone else. Victory for us. We win today. Those little wins give you a taste. We're winners. And we can do the exact same thing. Start yourself a faith harvest list, okay? Put it on your fridge. This is a great idea. Faith, because it's my idea. Start a faith harvest list. Every single day, note one piece of fruit that your faith produced today, however small, and just write it on that list. This is what it did. And it can be stuff that's really small and simple. It's just like, hey, I kept my cool in a hard conversation today. I didn't even cuss. Look at me, you know. That's something that my faith did. Or I remembered a Bible verse today right when I needed it. You know, you remember the first time when that stuff starts happening. I remember because I'm like, oh, I'm just so terrible. I don't retain the Bible. And you're having a conversation and it just bubbles up. Your faith grew that. That's awesome. Write it down. Or maybe it's just something like, I listened better today to make someone feel loved better today. Really, write that down. You're getting somewhere. Remind yourself of the good that could go unnoticed in your life. Because your favorite fruits are the ones that get replanted first. So you gotta see them. You gotta find them. Hey, this was good. I'm doing good at this thing. And so, second, to make sure that you don't forget a single fruit, practice key number two. Choose your cheerleaders. Okay? We all need cheerleaders. Have you ever noticed that you run faster when people cheer? You have to run first for that to happen. So I don't really know. I know that it does happen. And if I were to run, I don't think anybody's going to cheer. They're going to go, he's hurting himself. Just tell him he can walk. But as I understand from people who can run, that you run faster, right? We see, why do we go to games and we cheer, right? And then they do better. And we're like, I did that. It's not because you got new legs, right? They didn't yell your legs better. It's because you get new joy. You get new joy, and that joy feels like fuel. You know, it's just something that we just take, that reward just pushes us forward because we're wired to want social support as a reward, because encouragement is just assistance in finding our fruit. Okay? Remember, it's hard to see your own fruit sometimes. You're running, you're like, oh gosh, I'm doing terrible. And then you see, you know, your wife over there and she's like, come on, you can do it. This is better than you've ever done. I go, well, okay, I'm not the worst. Hooray for me. Because sometimes we can be too close to the process to see our own progress, right? You overlook it. So we need an outside perspective to increase our awareness of something to celebrate. You know, you did something good today. Raina, you didn't even cuss today. Good job, you. Good job. Yeah, no, that is. I know. That's like Cinnabon for you. You did gold star. That's it. We just need something to celebrate. And sometimes we miss it. But let others help you find that fruit. You're doing good. Hang in there. And I'll tell you what. In fact, let me share this completely honestly. Writing this sermon started out as a fairly frustrating discipline of my faith. I had a really busy week, and I kept, you know, I was like, okay, I got an outline and what we're going to do. And every time I went to it was just driving me crazy. And I was like, Lord, make this fun somehow. Encourage me. I want to quit and just run away. But one of the things that was on my schedule this week is I had a meeting with two printer salesmen on Thursday, you know, and I was like, okay, well, this isn't going to be encouraging. But one of them in our meeting stopped and just simply said, you know, you're a really good communicator. And I went, I am a really good communicator. Well, thank you for not, yeah, you know what? I'm doing better all the time. And I was re-energized. I was like, let me at that sermon. I'm going to communicate it so hard and I'm going to be so great, right? And I just was able to get right back to work. And sure, it was probably just to make a sale, probably a sales tactic that they were using, like telling me he's a good communicator. They always sign after that. But I'll take it. I don't care, right? Because it helps. Whatever it is, encouragement is encouragement. We need it. We need people to help us point out that fruit. And Scripture specifically highlights how others help to develop our habits, to point us in that right direction. We're told, let us all, okay, for each other, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Good deeds. How can we get them to love and do those good deeds? Well, we got to cheerlead, right? Because that's what cheerleaders do. They find a way to make our efforts feel rewarding by emphasizing even the smallest gains that got you closer to your goal. You know, 2, 4, 6, 8, who felt calm instead of, hey, Noah, yay, Noah, that's it, it's just you weren't the worst today, you weren't just a jerk, that's something, Noah, you know, that's right, write it down, not a jerk today. So do it, though, really. I mean, honestly, this is it. Place people around you to point out the patience that you showed, you know, like, hey, you did a good job today. I know how frustrating and hard that was. You had patience, you know, talking to our daughter about something. You were so patient, so good. Or the peace that you projected, or a prayer that you prioritized. Just get the people to really help encourage you. That use your church, guys. This is a support group for exactly this sort of stuff. Use your church to recruit a few fruit finders to help you out, right? These fruit finders, they don't just hold you accountable, but they keep you excitable by reminding you to appreciate each step of your faith as a win and not a weight. Because it's all too easy to just feel like you're just, each step starts to hurt, but they're like, you did something good, you won today. Because when we get better at finding that fruit and seeing what's actually going on in our own life, we start to see the satisfying joy that faithful habits produce. And that perspective starts with key number 3, celebrate streaks, okay? Celebrate your streaks. Just like this is the way Snapchat capitalized on this. And oh, don't even get me started on that. But celebrate your streaks. Like when you get going, Jerry Seinfeld often says that he's his own worst critic, right? And he can just beat himself up on how he's writing his jokes and everything. And so he says he no longer tracks how well a joke is written. Like I don't, you know, it's not about how good the joke is. He just tracks the days that he wrote, period. Because that way he could feel a tiny win with every single X that he puts on the calendar. It doesn't matter how good it was. It's just like, I did it today. That's great. That's a win. I'm doing good. I'm Jerry Seinfeld, right? Like, that's a good feeling. And the more wins that a habit can produce, the more satisfying it feels. Because you can win so many different ways. And so just like Proverbs says, great, remember this, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Oh man, when you actually get something done, and the big problem with Christians, us Christians, a lot of the times we aim so high, we never get to taste that accomplishment. So we're saying, lower it. Make sure you get the taste of just a win. Little wins, they're so important. God wired reward into every single achievement, no matter the size, to get us addicted to the feeling of following through. I just want to win. I just got to see it through. So don't just celebrate the small victories. Celebrate how big the whole stack of wins has gotten, right? It's not about what you just did today, but now this is day 2, day 3, right? This is amazing. Many recovery programs, right? Drug and alcohol recovery programs know this really, really well. Brilliant idea. They offer chips for streaks of sobriety, right? And they start at 24 hours. You did it a day. That's a huge deal. But then they go up all the way, and they increase into decades. Here's your 1-year chip. You made it a year. You made it 10 years. Holy moly. Because every single one of those tokens turns an invisible victory into a tangible reward that encourages people to not only just savor the progress, you know, but actually prolong the practice. To really just like, this is something that I'm doing, this is who I am, this is great. And that is because recognition is rewarding, right? That's what trophies are, is here's this thing to say you did good. And they're so important, they're so, and those rewards just become the reasons to keep it going. And this I really, really do know, because also, this is I think the same printer day that I had. I worked a 14-hour day. Really long day, got really late. I live in Anacora, so it was even later when I got home this week. And then after I got home, I quickly got into bed. I was like, woof, what a day. I'm going to just get into bed. And I took out my phone because I haven't worked on that habit yet, so I'm still scrolling my way to sleep, which is what, till the phone starts hitting you in the face, and you're like, oh, all right. That's I'm imperfect. We'll get there. Next habit. But I'm scrolling through, and I notice on my little step counter, because we've been talking about how much I've been walking, and I'm so happy and excited about it, and I saw that I was 1,000 steps shy of continuing my 123-day walking streak. Oh, the pain. It was the worst. I was like 1,000, because I've been there before. It was 50, and I got out of bed, and I just walked around the bed a bunch, like, and that was it, but 1,000. But you know what? Keeping that streak had become such a win for me that it was reason enough to get my shoes on, put my headphones in, and get me outside to keep that taste of success going. And again, it's just a stupid little badge on my phone, but it meant a lot to me. We need those rewards. We need those rewards. So find a way to add more wins to your faith. Okay? Like there's just those things to just really celebrate. Recognize each step that you take, but look for other ways to make it a win, right? Like you might have done something today, but realize this is my third day in a row, right? Like that's something to celebrate apart from just today. This is now a streak that's gone. Or like, hey, I've been keeping my cool in conversations at home. I've been doing that pretty good. But I did that today at home and online where I'm usually a real jerk. I was nice online. That's a new win. Or I didn't just do my daily prayer today. I prayed with someone for the very first time. So my streak's still going, but there's something new to celebrate. Change the way that you measure satisfaction. And then make more room with key number four, celebrate suspense, okay? Celebrate, you know, the process, the suspense. Imagine posting a picture that you painted on eBay, okay? And you're going to sell it because in this example, that's what you do. You're painting and you're selling it for $10 because you know you're not that great. You put $10 picture on eBay and then imagine getting a bid for $100. You'd be thrilled, right? Right? You're a great painter. Look at you go. But what about the next time when you post it for 10, you expect now maybe I'm going to get that 100 and you only get a bid for 10. How would you feel?
Bad.
That's right, Bruce. Bad. You'd be deflated. You'd be like, well, it's only 10. Well, that was good before, right? So what changed? Well, this is all because expectation shapes satisfaction. Okay? Expectation shapes our satisfaction. Clear explains this also with an example. He says how joy is relative by giving an example from his own life because he remembers how excited he was to tell everyone that he hit 1,000 subscribers after 3 months of sharing his writing on YouTube. He had started publishing it and he said, I'm going to make a go of it. This is what I am. And he got 1,000 subscribers and he called his girlfriend and he called his parents and he said, it's working. I got 1,000 subscribers. I'm a big deal. This is so great. And he was so motivated. And then he says, a few years later, he was getting 1,000 subscribers a day. And he didn't even think to tell anyone because it had just become normal. Ooh, that's so sad. There's still 1,000. That's something to celebrate, right? It's because he had just started. He raised his expectations too high. Whoa. Just today, you did great. That's another 1,000, right? And this is because anticipation only produces satisfaction if we have the right expectation. What's happening? I know, I was just waiting for it. Lord, Noah, it's time. Let's go. We're doing it. Okay, no, it's not. All right, fair enough. He was like, nope, you don't have it. Okay. Have the right expectation. That's a little object lesson right there. You got to, because anticipation, remember, it's a great thing, but you got to be anticipating the right thing. This is like Proverb points out. He says, hey, the hope of the righteous brings joy. But that's it. It's the hope of the righteous. It's not the hope of the wicked that brings joy, right? Faith only produces the righteous rewards that God wants to give. So when Christians start expecting that their holy habits are going to net a specific profit, you know, like, I know you're going to give me that airplane I always wanted, we can overlook a real reward that's right in front of us and then undermine the joy of suspense of saying like, ooh, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? You know, you just when you start looking too high. And because if you remember from an earlier sermon in this series, dopamine, the happy drug that your brain makes, dopamine fires to make the anticipation as pleasurable as the payoff so that it'll keep, you know, our pursuit perpetually rewarding. God wants us in that keep following. You know, he's like, just keep walking. I'm going to make that fun for you. So here's the moral of that story. Keep your hopes high, but keep your heart open. To whatever it is, whatever those goals are that are right in front of you, keep your hopes high, but your heart open because that's the way that you're going to stay consistently satisfied, which is when you're ready for key number five, celebrate the sweet spot, okay? The sweet spot right in that place. Because once we master the art of reasonable expectations, what are we going to win today? We can learn the secret to rewarding efforts. You know, like the actual work becomes really rewarding. It's called the Goldilocks zone, right? It's just right. Not too much, not too little. Because it's the idea that people enjoy habits most when they are both challenging and achievable, right? If it's too easy, you can do it, but who cares? It's boring. If it's too hard, you will fail at it and it's demoralizing. We want it right in that sweet spot where it's just hard enough that you can actually conquer it, but easy enough that you will conquer it and you'll keep doing it, right? It's living at the edge of our ability that makes habits repeatedly rewarding. And I know it's tough because it's just that, you know, it's the personal trainer who's like, one more rep, and you're like, I don't want to. And then you do it and you're like, look at me, I did one more rep. That's how it's supposed to feel. And Paul echoes this idea while he explains why God put this heavy truth into the fragile human hands. He says, we have this treasure, right, of truth in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are, okay, down here who we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, okay? Like, we're right up to the edge. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And this is also that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Because the life of Jesus is victory, right? And so this way, it's just right up to the edge of your ability, but you can do it. And so when honing your holy habits, remember that God designed us to bend, but not break. Okay, so he's going to bend you. We're going to bend. And he did that not just so that we could stack our wins, but to deepen their significance and their satisfaction, right? It feels better when you just do a little bit more. You know, if I set my goal at doing my, you know, I was walking down the end of the street. Then I was walking to the end of the street and I was like, this isn't really that big a deal. So I had to go another block. And you just keep adding that. Okay, now this is challenging enough that I can still do it, but it feels better, like I'm really accomplishing something. So when your faithful living starts to feel like more of an expectation, you know, not that difficult, and it starts feeling less like an accomplishment, like you've really conquered something, well, know that right there, that's when it's time for your 2 minutes to become 3 minutes, okay? Because we're starting easy, but we're keeping it going. Because remember, our goal has always been these sustainable steps. That's why we make them small. But part of what makes them sustainable means that they need to keep being satisfying by upping the ante, right? We need to feel like we're actually getting a win every time. And so that can be tough. I mean, it's good when you are like, okay, I can put more weight on the bar today. But if that little increase gives you some anxiety, well, then let that just lead you to key number 6, which is this great one. Celebrate being saved. Being saved, past tense. Already happened. You are saved. You are good. I mean, recognize it in the present tense that it has already happened. Celebrate every single action, especially as they escalate in effort. But celebrate them as just another affirmation of your new identity that has already come. Because there is a big difference in the satisfaction of saying, I'm trying to quit smoking, and saying, I am a non-smoker. Right? One feels really encouraging and satisfying. One feels like, oh boy, it's tough. And like we said earlier in this series, each action that we take is a vote for the type of person that you wish to become. So as your faith becomes more and more routine, your identity becomes more and more real. And the more that that happens, that right there, realize that that's what's happening as you're stepping into that identity. That's when faithful habits just start feeling like fulfilling our purpose. I'm living out who I am, for we are God's handiwork. Amen? Amen? We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's who I am. These are the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do, because he said, that's who you are. And so when you realize that is who you are, there is nothing more satisfying than confidence in who we are and why we're here. I'm here to do good works. Because security in our identity transforms all of these habit loops into those victory laps. I've arrived. I'm a billionaire. Live like it. So See every single act of faith as proof that you have already won the jackpot. And now it's just finally sinking in. When you're doing something faithful, you're praying, you're like, yeah, it is. This is who I am. I have already won that jackpot. I'm just the one catching up to that reality. Because you did win that jackpot. That did happen. Jesus was here. You are saved. And every single prayer that you pray, every single Bible study, every single tithe and offering that you give up as one of your faithful habits is just helping you to see the reality of an identity that is already true. And when you really understand that identity, that's what leads you to key number 7. Celebrate your Savior. You know, lots of people actually, like, they go on diets. I just started watching the Biggest Loser documentary on Netflix. They hit their goal weight and they still feel empty. Why? It's not just because they didn't eat food. They still, I mean, like, you know, spiritually empty. They still feel empty. Why? It's because the payoff faded. Right? The payoff faded. It's still earthly. It's still down here. Because even if you achieve complete consistency in your desired identity, who you wanted to be. I'm thin and good looking. Hooray for me. Big deal. Big whoop. Earthly actions mean nothing on their own. Down here. No matter what happens, you got it all worked out. You're gonna die. It's just gonna come for all of us. You can't take it with you. Period. Anything down here. It is only through the sacrifice of Jesus that anything can have lasting value. Only through Him does it go on to the next level, because the satisfaction of true success will always be beyond this world's reach. You can't take any of it with you. But because Jesus brought those riches down to us, when we lost that winning lotto ticket, when we had everything and we lost it, and death came in, and here we are. Well, here's the great news. Even though you lost that ticket, He brought it back to you. And so now it just takes faith in Christ to redeem our winnings. You just got to go pick it up. Which is why He says very specifically, whoever comes to Me will never go hungry. Ever. Again. And whoever believes in Me will never be thirsty. Done. You will be satisfied always and forever. Wow. That's it. Everything down here, it lasts for a little while. That's it. And listen, all of us down here, doesn't matter whether you're inside this church or outside this church, whoever it is on this planet, we're all doing the same thing. We're all choosing our actions in pursuit of some ultimate reward that we want to eternally encourage us through a joyful journey that we hope won't ever end, right? Whatever that is, we're all chasing that thing because we hope it goes that way. But the truth is, everything and everyone down here is going to fall short, because habits fizzle as the payoffs fade, and the payoffs all fade down here. Only faith can equip us to endure eternity, because only Jesus can satisfy endlessly. I mean, forever. So here's your last challenge of the week. Here's your last challenge of the series, okay? Here it is, very simply, plainly, buttons it all up. Enjoy your faith. Enjoy your faith. Don't aim to just endure your faith. No, enjoy it. Take the steps. Aim to make your faith, you know. Take the reins. Own your faith. Enjoy it. Make your faith more satisfying. By doing some of these things, ask one friend this week to help you examine your life to find one fruit that one holy habit has produced. Doesn't even matter. So small, but it's an extra win. Find it and then celebrate it. Celebrate it as another win in the war to adopt Jesus Christ as your identity. Because that right there is how your worship just becomes reward. Your faith becomes fun. And you just start living like the billionaire that you already are. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray about it, guys.
That was great.
Good communicator. Oh, I appreciate it. That is everything. You don't even know. I love it. Well, we're still going to pray even harder now. I love it. Father God, boy, oh boy, do we love you, and we thank you for being the giver of all the earthly gifts that allow us to taste and see that you are good. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you make our faith more satisfying by rewiring our routines to savor the reward of your presence as the fruit of our progress. And Lord Jesus, we praise you as the only prize that satisfies, and the only identity that is fit for eternity, and the only sacrifice that not only saves, but redeems our riches so we can journey with endless joy. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.